Welcome to The Bottom Line with your host, Yacoub Oyens. Are you ready to change your life? We're here to take you to your full potential with enlightenment from some of the most forward-thinking guests and ideas. Now, here is Yacoub Oyens.
Good morning. Good Thursday morning, everybody. This is The Bottom Line. This is Yacoub Oyens. Very excited, as always, to have a great show today, to bring a show to you. And then, of course, you can find the show again and share it with your friends on podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts all around the world. I think this goes out to 170-plus countries around the world. And we bring forward thinkers, which I hope I'm one of them, forward thinkers to the show. Today is nostalgic for me. Today is going back to military days. Today is going back to the two guys listening, man. It's boot camp. It's laying on a weapon for hours and days, because these guys are heroes. I want to hail and celebrate all our servicemen and women this morning, those in blue and those in the armed forces. Thank you. God bless you. We do not have freedom if it's not paid for. Nothing's free. And two guys this morning that I'm very proud of and proud to have on the show, and they've got a good history together. Marco Longagon-Hurdle and Sam Havelock, both of them come from the SEAL community. They will talk about that this morning. Both of them are entrepreneurs. Both of them are still impacting our nation, still contributing amazing things to our country. Gentlemen, Marco and Sam, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Yacoub.
Good morning, Yacoub.
Fantastic. Well, listen, let's dive right in. We're not going to mince words of time. How do you two guys know each other? Tell me a little bit about that history. Maybe from the eyes of the junior, if I may call you that, Marco, just for a second, right? Because Sam is your commander, right? Can you give us a bit of the history?
You could say that. So, Yacoub, it's such an honor and a privilege to put us all together. You mentioned getting on the program, and it's such an honor, and I'm just so proud of you, brother, and what you're doing with the show, and how you're reaching out to so many and making a big difference in the world, bro. So I want to first take the opportunity to salute you and also your listeners for having that spirit of, wanting to go out there and get to the bottom line of things, but also make a difference in this world. And, you know, the main theme is protector, be a protector. And that's my theme talking to you today. And I get to introduce to you, Yacoub, on the phone. This is my greatest protector. This is Sam Havelock. He was my officer in charge, my OIC, at SEAL training and BUDS many years ago. And so, yes, I get to introduce my OIC to you. Yacoub, you and I are building a relationship together. And I think the best thing we could do in building relationships is look at who our protectors are in our lives, and how great is that to start relationships and introduce protectors to each other. So Sam, he looked out for me. You know, basically I got through SEAL training because all I was just an E3 coming into the Navy. I had shifted out of the Marine Corps. I was a Force Reconnaissance Marine, and I dropped a couple of pay grades to go into the Navy and go to BUDS. And so I showed up at class 207, and my officer in charge was Sam. And basically the job of the OIC in BUDS is to take a lot of heavy rounds. And they take the heavy load, they carry the heavy load, and us guys, I was just a Navy seaman. And so my job was just put my head down and keep my mouth shut and charge forward. So Sam looked out for me. He looked out for our class, and he carried on that legacy of looking out not only for other people but for other team guys. Sam actually grew to the point where he was able to be a commander of a SEAL unit, and to me that's the greatest honor of all. So that's my introduction, Yacoub, to Sam Havelock.
Well, Sam, it's great to be introduced to someone else's defender and protector, but it's also great to have you on the show, and thank you for your service, Sam. Tell me a little bit about this guy, Marco, that I think I know, and give us a little bit of the menacing factors of this man as he was becoming.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, Yacoub, thanks for having us both. Mark is remarkable in every sense of the word. We had a shared experience in that we were both Marines prior to having gone in the SEAL teams, and we both had to navigate the waters of essentially leaving a service that we loved. Because once you are a Marine, you're always a Marine. I still consider myself a Marine, and I'm sure Mark does as well. And I would say that I would not have made it through BUDS had I not been a Marine enlisted man, an officer prior. There's no way. Like, everything about the Marine Corps prepared me for BUDS. And interestingly, Mark and I were both on the really older end of the spectrum of people who go to BUDS. I was 28 when I showed up. Mark, I think, was maybe a year or two older than me, but we were definitely, what we lacked in sort of athletic recovery capability, I'd like to say we made up for in guile and cunning. Yeah. So we were co-conspirators in terms of,
in other words, we cheated a lot.
No. Hold on. I'm going to halt you there. You know, my background, Mark, you know some of my background, but and a lot of it, but also professional sport is in the background. And there's a morning you wake up, and this happened in BUDS. I know it did, and it happened in the battlefield. We're going to get there. For the listeners, we're going to talk about some heavy stuff. But there's a moment you wake up in the morning, and you go, wait a minute, I'm slower than the other guys, but I can be smarter. I can cut corners. That's not cheating, Mark. That's just wisdom, brother.
Amen, bro.
That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Guys, so that journey, obviously, I mean, very interesting what you're saying, Sam. You know, the Marine Corps, in our country, the Marines are so, look, all, and I, please, not disparaging anybody that serves, God bless them. Thank you. But there's something about the Marines. There's something different about the Marines, right? And so, interesting that you said, hey, the Marine Corps made me get through BUDS. Without it, I wouldn't have. I mean, is the Marine Corps really, your opinion, gentlemen, is it really that different of an approach? Because it's all about the approach, right? It's all, all the different, you know, divisions, now six with Space Force, right? But all the different divisions come to serve and protect. But is the attitude and the approach of the Marine Corps really that unique?
I can take a little bit of that mantle, if I may.
Yeah.
Please. And,
yeah. All right. So on my angle of attack, I'm going to sum it into one term, and the term is rite of passage. And I think what's inherent, what's so important, and especially I think to both males and females of the world, is we're all looking for that reassurance that we passed the test, that we're good, you know. And that's the essential drive of a protector, is to want to prove yourself. And so it's real important that we have that opportunity in our lives to prove ourselves. I know, Yako, that's why we connect, because we have a common theme together. And that's why a lot of people that do have military service have a common theme together. Same thing with law enforcement, same thing with firefighters, same thing with the medical profession. We all have this thing that we passed, and we've done it together. And so that's what we use to unite ourselves. And I think that's so important in the world today. But that, to some of us, it's not very clear cut what that rite of passage is. And so for me as a young man, my goal was to get a scholarship in Annapolis or to the Citadel, where Sam actually attended Citadel. And I had to shortcut that because growing up, I didn't have that opportunity for college, and I knew I better aim my sights at something that would get me out of the house and would give me that rite of passage to become that man. And I chose Parris Island, South Carolina, because I knew, if anything, the Marines were going to make me strong, and I could transform magically into this, from this little boy into a man. And they actually did a pretty good job of it.
I'd say.
Yeah, Yako, I believe that the SEAL teams share this. You know, I've thought a lot about actually the question that you asked, and it pertains to both the SEAL teams and the Marine Corps, in that it was more than just more than just a place to serve, but it was in my deep requirement to go to a place that I felt had a deep culture of its own identity that was very different from other places. Mm. And it has nothing to do with taking anything away from, so I would say the Army corollary might be the Ranger Battalion.
The
Air Force community might be but to me it was almost like when I joined the Marine Corps, I was joining the French Foreign Legion. Because and I thought about this a lot. I think that the unifying characteristic oftentimes of what makes a SEAL or a special operator or somebody who has sought out an extremely hard trial of suffering is because they're typically running from something. Right, they're seeking refuge, believe it or not.
Absolutely,
from some experience, or I'll stop there. But it was a refuge for me. But the Marine Corps and the SEAL teams were a refuge from my childhood or from some experiences I had, basically.
Sam,
that's really well.
No, this is what happens on the show, Mark. We get to the bottom. This is the bottom line. This is where I want to get to the why. Why? Right. You know, see, there's a reason every 3-year-old asks why. Why am I hungry? Well, we haven't eaten. Why? We've been trapped, and there's no end, right? It's just a constant digging of purpose and dig. And if we can answer why in life, and we search for that, and ultimately it's God, it's purpose, it's what He's made us for. It's us waking up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? But I ran for sure. I ran from something and to something. You know, for me, it was, you know, I went to military school from when I was 13. Because it's just what I did in my summer breaks, because I was raised by a single mom, so it was a way to keep me out of trouble, right? And then I ran to sport again to get away from not having a father figure and all those things. So it's great to hear that. I've always believed this, Sam. Some of your greatest soldiers, and I believe it can also be manipulated, and we'll talk about that, but some of your greatest soldiers are those who are so devoted and dedicated to that mission and calling because it gives them purpose. It gives them a home. It answers questions. It answers a lot of those why. Why am I here? What's my purpose? And they're running from something. You see that in fighters. And as soon as a fighter finds it and he finds something else, we look at a Conor McGregor, for instance. This is a kid from Dublin, Ireland, that it lives on the street. He eats off the street. He's got nothing. He doesn't have two pennies to rub together. He's running away from that environment, and he'll do anything. He'll put his life on the line in an octagon, and he fights that way. Fights like a dog, a stray dog that hasn't eaten in 4 days, that's backed into a corner, and he becomes world champion, and all of a sudden his universe changes. That is not the purpose anymore. Something else is now filling the void, and all of a sudden he loses title. You see it over and over. You see it in players. The minute they sign Zeke Elliott, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys, the second they sign Zeke, or these kids that come from nothing through college, they sign a $10 million signing bonus. The minute they sign his big contract, productivity goes down. And because something else, and I believe that, and it's great to hear that's in this, and that also answers the question why so many servicemen and women, when they leave the service, they want back, but it's dangerous. You're safe, but they want back because it becomes part of their DNA. And I want to segue. That's why it's so amazing for us, because we fight child sex trafficking. We have, Sam, for 25 years. Mark knows this. 25 years we've been fighting sex trafficking. 25 years we've been working with law enforcement. And 25 years I've been having this coffee and lunch conversation with fill in the blank. Mark, you've got an incredible set of skills. You can help us. You can help us rescue children. You can help us keep the community safe. It doesn't have to be in Fallujah or in Baghdad. We can do it here in Texas, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Ohio. We can rescue children. And these guys are saying, sign me up. Sign me up. And who better to go defend our children than these amazing servicemen and women that have these skill sets that are, I mean, the best trained forces in the world, right?
Amen. That's so well said.
So, Sam, on that front, I want to introduce both of the entities, the companies that's currently getting a good portion of either of your time. So, for Mark, It's a company called Cloth Defense. And this every time we talk, this blows my mind. I just went through the deck again last night, and God is so good, to give blueprint. I say he downloads blueprints to give you this. Can you share? And then, of course, for Sam, it's the for everybody out the SOFX company. I'm assuming it's a .com. Sam, we'll get to the plugs later, but it's SOFX.com. And so it's Sierra Oscar Foxtrot X-ray.com is Sam's company. Mark, if you don't mind, Cloth Defense. Just in the name, pretty interesting. Tell us about Cloth Defense.
Yeah. So Yako, the reason for the introduction today, which is great between the three of us, is the three of us are making cloth. We're making cloth together. And you're part of this fight. And it's because of reasons that you just mentioned earlier, talking about the sex trafficking and making a difference in this world. Sam and I are working together. This is a great gift for me. I've been working for over 12 years to develop this, what we call cloth. And it's basically, it's a thermal heat reflective textile that I started years ago developing for the Marine Corps. I had the great gift of getting back from Iraq. I saved my money up and I started a military gear company. And I did the replacement seat bag for every United States Marine. And I was working with basically it was Marine Corps Systems Command. And we ended up working on a program that would be essentially the replacement poncho liner for Marines. And it was a cloth that I started developing. And it was something I started years ago in the SEAL teams, literally the fabric of my life, which was take this blanket that I had actually ever since I was a little kid, and I was making that little tarp over the top of my hammock, or I was making a tent out of it, or I was wrapping myself in it. I ended up as a sniper in the SEAL teams, and I took my poncho liner and an old emergency survival blanket. I took it into the rigger shed, and I sewed up this makeshift heat-reflective blanket that I would cover myself in a sniper position. And I always told myself, man, one of these days I'm going to actually develop this into a textile. So I started this journey with Marine Corps Systems Command years ago, 12 years ago, and we finally refined it. I've got the best partners in the world for textiles now. To bring this to the military marketplace. And in developing these partnerships, I was able to go to my old SEAL commander and say, Sam, this is it, brother. We've got this cloth, this textile that's about to go into every uniform and every tent and every sleeping bag. And it can literally change the way that we live and survive in the field. And I went to Sam and I said, brother, go on this journey with me together. I want to build cloth together with you, because he's got the crossroads of the special operations community with SOFX and his experience as a unit commander. And I know he and I together, we can go out there and make a difference. And Yako, what's so amazing is right now I'm sitting in New York City right now above looking over the United Nations building. And I'm on the phone with my textile company, developing cloth. And I'm on the phone with Sam, and we're developing a strategy that we're doing a protective uniforms for every military service person that's about to join the fight with this COVID-19 piece. So we're up here and we're making a difference together. And ultimately, the objective is where we all come together as a team is we design cloth that protects others. Others are protecting, are part of this fight. Right now, the fight is not only the global war on terrorism, but the fight against this pandemic. And if we could take the results of that from a successful business perspective and turn it into doing good in this world, that is the ultimate objective. Not just to make money off of a war or a pandemic, but to take it and transition it into propagated into keeping other people safe. That's the ultimate journey, bro.
Man, I wanted to give you time to just get that out, Marco. And for the listeners out there, look, I'll say this to you. For those of you who are believers, we say we worship God. We praise and worship God. I'll tell you this. Praise is what you do with your lips, is when you sing and you give him praise. But I believe you worship him with your gifts. You worship him. You know, it's that sniper mark that's laying on a roof somewhere. He's got a gift. He's got the eye. He's got a steady heartbeat. He understands breathing. I Mark, as you know, I know a little bit about this. He can calm his nerves. He can focus. He can block out noise and sound. That's a gift. He's worshiping God with that gift. It's no different than a basketball player that says, I want to take my skills and do good with it. Here you have two guys, to the listeners, and could go do anything. Could take positions in the administration, could go lead teams, could go start up, you know, which you'll hear about Sam in a minute, companies to help other people. They take their gifts to help others. It will produce fruit. It will feed your family. It will take care of you financially. But if the focus and the mission is to help others, you will succeed in this life. You will move forward because that's why we're here. Sam, we're going to lead in here before the break, and then we're going to continue after the break. SOFX, it's a mouthful, man. I'm telling you, when I dive into this website, good gracious. I mean, look, the first paragraph on the website in the deck, I go, yep, I need some help with government liaising, you know, and we'll talk offline because we're very blessed to work with the White House on fighting sex trafficking and working with, you know, a lot of your former colleagues in the field and amazing. But you guys do some special things at SOFX. Tell us a little bit about, and then we will break, not to be rude, but we'll come back and finish it out. But tell us about this amazing company.
Sure. So the idea for SOFX occurred to me when I was basically a mid-grade officer in the SEAL teams. I had a desperately ill daughter by the name of Eva, and she was hospitalized. And at that time, I was at the War College, and they said, Sam, don't even come to class. The only thing you have to do is write your thesis, submit that, and that's all you have to do for school. Just be with your family. And in the hospital, I just wound up writing a thesis that was called Enigma. And Enigma was a concept for a global network that would fight evil and avert suffering at scale, where you wouldn't have to be a special operator to contribute. We would just create ad hoc teams to fight evil and avert suffering because on net, there's more good people in the world than there are bad. And that's how we would defeat evil at scale. The paper wound up winning an intelligence award. My daughter, unfortunately, didn't make it. But, it, you know, the idea for SOFX came to me through an act of grace. I just wrote it. It just came to me. And when I got out in 2012, I endeavored to start building a platform that would connect deeply committed people to each other for the purposes, again, of fighting evil and averting suffering at scale. Sort of like a network that can be thought of as a special operations command for companies or people that have big objectives that need to get done. And that's how we help really our clients or our people and our stakeholders who receive our daily newsletter, which is not just for special operations, but really for people who were some people on Earth when they were little, they dreamed about being a superhero or superhuman. And the people that are in SOFX network have never lost sight of that dream. That's amazing. The way I characterize what we do.
Well, that's why it resonates with me, Sam. I'm one of those, you know, we're building, you know, our nonprofit Share Together has a new fresh division that we'll talk about offline, and it's focused in that heart. It's to connect and combine forces and team up together and go do good and in this case rescue children. But I want to say this to the listener. What SOFX does is, according to me, probably the most overlooked element if you do gap analysis in fighting evil. How often do we hear departments don't talk to each other? You know, jurisdiction, you know, doesn't cross over. case and task management, project management, you know, operational management, all these things. These are the little cracks where things fall through, particularly in sex trafficking. This is where the pimps and these guys operate. They operate in hidden in plain sight, but still finding the areas the camera doesn't see, if I can call it that. They understand how to maneuver. And I look at SOFX. This is my perspective. This is Sam, if I'm wrong, tell me. But it fills gaps. It seals it up, no pun intended. It covers it, and it makes it efficient. So at first look, when Mark introduced me to this, I was like, this is fantastic. Yes, and it's not only for operations. It's for business communities as well. It's for the marketplace. So
borrows off of special operations sensibilities. In the real world of special operations, a lot of times we show up in a target area and we have to make it up as we go along. Well, correct. The speed of change in the world today requires that everybody be able to make decisions under extreme stress, pressure, and ambiguity. And that is the way that special operators process the world that they live in. And what I'm trying to do is impart those sensibilities to everybody who wants to make a difference in the world.
And it's going to change the CEO.
If I may break in.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, if I could break in real quick. The cool thing is the sense of community as well. And where I'm linking up the cross connect with SOFX and what we're doing with Cloth Defense is now what Sam has is a network, and it's not only of special operators in CONUS in the United States, but also around the world. And one of the unique things that I have is I've been actually involved in working with special operations units around the planet, allied forces, and with our CLOS. And now what I'm doing with Sam is we're together combining this whole universe of United States forces and forces around the world. And that was a great connection with you, Yako, with your experience from South Africa. So I thought that was that's basically the cross connect we're doing as we're transitioning Sam's capabilities into our business space here.
Fantastic.
Cloth is spelled with a K, by the way.
Cloth is spelled with we'll give it at the end. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back, everybody. When we come back, we're gonna hear a little bit about National Geographic. We're going to hear about some rescue efforts. We're going to hear about how our servicemen and women do what they do. We'll see you right after the break.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
The future of our nation is our children. Life is precious. For more information about how you can help Yaku fight child sex trafficking in the USA, go to sharetogethernow.org. Yaku fights for life and liberty and is called to transform culture through uplifting entertainment to resemble God's character. Follow Yaku on all social media and subscribe to his Instagram and YouTube channels, as well as the Falkirk Center on social media. Learn about his film, TV series, and book projects, and support his efforts at YakuBoyans.com. Truth sets you free, and that's the bottom line.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You're listening to The Bottom Line with Yaku Boyans. If you'd like to reach the program today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or email info@afteredenpictures.com. Now, back to The Bottom Line.
That's right, baby. This is The Bottom Line. I'll tell you, my blood is excited. It's like, yeah, I know my body can't, but man, the mind and the spirit is willing. I'll go back to the boot camp. I'll tell you that much. These guys are just getting me going. Thank you for being here at The Bottom Line, Yaku Boyans. Listen, for those of you who want good news, clear news, news that doesn't influence you negatively, check out the Epoch Times. Read epoch.com/Yaku, and you'll get a discount. Read the Epoch Times. I believe it's fair and balanced, pro-American. Good night. Can we just for a second, everybody on this call, just pause and think about that flag? I mean, we live in the greatest nation on earth. It's an honor to be an American. It's an honor to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's an honor to sing that national anthem. It is higher than anything else in the land, only under God. It's higher than any public office or any person. It's what we fight for. It's the ideal and the dream. It's the Mayflower and the men that came over and said, we're going to go to a place and make a better place. We're going to go to a place where we can serve God and serve man and defend man, and all men are created equal, men and women. And we have rights endowed by our Heavenly Father, and we're going to memorialize these rights in documents that we call our founding documents. And then we're going to set up a government that's functioning to serve the people. And then we're going to have servicemen and women like we have on the phone to defend it. God bless America and both of you gentlemen. I want to, Mark, we spoke in the break. I want to lead in. This corona, look, corona's there, right? I don't ever subscribe to panic. It's just not how we were trained. It's never a solution. No matter, I told people, even if you have an active shooter in a building, panic is never the answer. Never. It is, go back to your training, and you will go back to muscle memory. That's part of the problem in society. I believe our society, as Americans, have no situational awareness. They don't know what is normal and what's not. And they go back to fight or flight. And so talk to me a little bit about corona, your perspective, whatever you want to share, and Sam as well. And Sam shared something with me in the break that I want to get him to. And then I want to dive into some adventure stuff. So if we can go through this little segment reasonably quickly, but give me your take, both you gentlemen, on where we are, where do you think we're going on corona, and maybe what's the influence of the servicemen and women community in this battle we're all facing? Mark, if you want to start.
Yeah, amen, Yaku. I think, you know, I got three things, right? In the military, we think in thirds, we present in thirds, and the first part is for such a time as this. So right now, right here and right now, and it's dealing with the present, and not in the future, not in the past, but what right now is your purpose? And the great thing that we all learn and our collective experience that we learn, and everyone that's a protector in this world, whether it's the military or these other paths that you followed as being a protector, it's one thing, and it's one thing that's our credo, and that is actions greater than self. That is our purpose. Our purpose is for actions greater than self. And that's what I look at now when I'm in a problem set, in a situation. I'm in lockdown in the middle of New York City right now, and it's amazing for me to see this. But what I'm doing is taking this and crafting my this product that I've developed to put that, to activate it with my former commanding officer, Sam Havelock, and put it in the hands of the protectors out there to make them safe. That's what I do. I make myself part of the solution. I don't look at blaming others. I don't, you know, look at how did I get here. I just look at how can I make a difference right here and right now. It's very similar to the three of us. If the three of us are right now behind a wall and the enemy's on the other side, the difference that we have is that we're going to check ammo with each of us, come up with a plan, and then the three of us are going over the wall, baby.
Absolutely.
That's yeah. That's how I look at life.
Well said. Yes, we're going over the wall. We are redeeming and reclaiming territory back. Sam, what say you, sir?
Yes, sir. Yaku, I think from the standpoint of what veterans can teach America and the world about how to process what is happening to us collectively as a human species, we know that when you place others first and you go into that mode of doing vice talking, right? So your life will be defined by what you do, not by what you talk about in almost every every context and circumstance. At some stage of everybody's life, they dreamt about being a superhero. Now's their moment, right? They can be a superhero to somebody else. It can start by simply doing what people are asking them to do with regards to self-quarantine and some of the simpler measures. But make no mistake, we are in the boat, right? We are going into the surf zone. We have no option other than to keep calm and return fire, right? As you guys know, both of you guys on the phone know right now, if you want to get off the ambush, the only way to do it is to fight through it. And you have to fight through it in the right way, not your own way. You've got to fight through it in the way that you've been instructed to, or that other people that are familiar with the situation are guiding you to do that. So that's what I would say. The veterans can play an extremely strong role in how to survive as a species under these unfortunate circumstances.
Sam, what I mean, I want listeners, I promise you, this show is not scripted. It's not. There's a divine hand.
Yeah, no,
God is just, it's flowing so beautifully. And God is just navigating. I made the comment the other day. My wife is from Franklin, Tennessee. And the Battle of Franklin was bloody. It was brutal. Of course, I'm from South Africa, but I believe I know my American history well because I want to honor this country and I want to serve. And I'm reminded there was a moment in Franklin, Tennessee, in the Civil War where they say that you couldn't walk anywhere but walk in blood. Blood filled the streets. And I want the listener to think about that moment. The fear and the panic, the heartbreak and the sorrow in that moment, love, physically seeing loved ones slain, family members slain, buildings blown up, like you gentlemen, like we've all seen, but still find hope, find something to fight for, find something to be positive about, and serve, defend, protect. Never, not for a second in that moment, could those men sit down and go, I need a break, someone else serve me. No. I need help. They turned homes into hospitals, churches into hospitals. People became nurses that had no medical background. This is the hour we're in, and we haven't even seen bodies fall. We're not walking in blood. We're not hearing bombs go off. And I feel like society is panicking, and we need our veterans in this hour to speak and to say, hey, even if it's a story, if my 90-year-old grandfather, he's my adopted grandfather, he's my wife's grandfather, right? So because my grandparents are deceased, but this is a Vietnam Korean War vet. You know, guys, can I tell you what this guy did before his 90th birthday? Before I went to the White House, he said, Yaku, you're going to go see the president. I said, yes, sir. And I call him sir. And he wears his Korea hat. He won't take that thing off, right? And he's mobile. His name is G.W. Brown. He's proud. He said, Yaku, you know I loved the Army? I had more clothes in the Army than out of the Army. He was raised on the street. So I had three pairs of socks in the Army. I had none outside. This nation's only given to me. How could I not give back? This guy looked at me at 89 years old. He turned 90 just a couple months ago. And he said, when you see the president, I want you to give him one message. And I said, yes, sir. And I thought he was going to ask me for something. Can he sign my hat, my book? His wife did that. He didn't do that. He said, tell the president, if he needs me, I'll go again. This guy's 90 years old. Tell the president,
wow,
if he needs me, I'll go again. And I'm like, dang, that's an American. And so Sam, what you're saying is that in the heat of the battle of Corona, a lot of unknown, a lot of misinformation, there are people that walk among us that has faced battle, that has faced a real trial, real difficulties, that can be guidepost, signal.
That's exactly right.
Share information. And this is why I want America to understand why our servicemen and women are so valuable. It's not just, oh, they're defending us when we're sleeping. No, now we're in a crisis on home turf. And these guys understand how to navigate challenge, real challenge. So am I out of my mind, or am I halfway correct here?
Yeah, I think you're spot on.
Go ahead, Mark.
You know. Yeah, I was going to say, you
it
know,
takes
what's
a certain
unique,
type of
Yoko?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what I say is unique is, you know, it's the secret sauce is taking struggle and converting it into stepping stones to making yourself better. So what we do is we take, and that's what I say collectively as protectors in this world, and to all your listeners, it's what we take collectively is our experiences, and we gain from them, we learn from them, and it makes us better and better and better for the next time for a moment such as this. That's why it's a collective. Our lives is wisdom. That's why we're survivors. And the objective is take that knowledge and that wisdom that we have from these collective experiences, learn from them, and move on to the next objective. That's my piece on that.
Sam?
Yeah, if I told you that with 100% certainty, we as a group were getting on a helicopter for an in extremis hostage rescue operation, and due to the intelligence, we know for a fact that we are going to be engaged with a massive amount of firepower from the enemy standpoint, you know you're going into combat. So the world right now knows it is going into combat. First things first is we have to do the things that people that are knowledgeable about how we can protect ourselves and prevail in that fight are instructing us is the best way forward. So the, you know, abandoning a lot of the nonsense that seems to be, or let's call it non-formation, that seems to be getting shared and closely coming to grips with the reality of the situation we're in and understanding that every single human being has a role to play in this battle, right? Veterans can inform how we process what we do by virtue of the fact that they have such a deep bench of experience in making hard decisions under conditions of life and death, which is exactly the environment that we're going to be asked to make decisions. For most people, they're going to run into their defining moments. It may not be for guys like Mark and I or yourself where we've been challenged at that level, or many, many veterans have had to face a defining moment where they would have the opportunity that day to be a hero. But for the vast majority of people in society nowadays, their defining moments are going to be in the next several weeks, several months.
Yeah,
and who they choose to be.
Choose to be. It's a choice. It is a choice. And look, every human being, I say this, Mark, all the time, we've got light and dark in us, you know, and whichever one you feed will take over. Mm-hmm. And so this is a moment to make a choice to be selfless, to serve, and to defend. And first start at home. And this is fathers. Get back in the house. Father, get involved. Have conversation. This is the greatest teaching moments. We got two gentlemen on the phone. Mark was blessed enough to have Sam lead him through being a SEAL. He learned from Sam. This is a moment where a father can pass down incredible information to his son to say, son, do you see the state of the world? What do you think we should do? And then dialogue with him and guide him as to how to make critical decisions. You know, teach your son that, hey, the best fight in the world is the one you walk away from, that you don't get into. You know, yep. And how do we do that? Well, mm-hmm. right now you defend yourself and you defend your family by doing what? By following the instructions so that we don't have to battle this in the ER. Well, you know, if we can fight this fight by not going to the ER, quote unquote, for the three of us, by not getting onto the chopper. Yeah, we always say, I want the ammo, but I prefer not to have to use it.
Yako, I can add to that, brother. Right now, I got a good one, man, and that is Sam has a really good way of saying crafting one very key word, and that's that word hero, and it has many, many different faces and many different meanings. But I think one of the defining moments in my life was You know, you talked about National Geographic and these types of things before the break, and really that's a bit of a lead-in on me. I had gotten out of the SEAL teams, and because of my experience in the jungles of South America, I was hired for National Geographic expedition, go around the world. We went to Patagonia, and then to Antarctica, and then to the Amazon jungle. And I was the, it's for Nat Geo Channel and Discovery, and I was the lead. I was the adventure coordinator, the point man, and the adventure guy on the TV show. So I did this amazing adventure, man. Went to all these amazing places. And in the end, what I ended up in, went further south than any vessel's gone before through the polar ice shelf, 70 south. In Antarctica, and I flew over the ice caps in a powered paraglider, dove under the ice. Then I went to the Amazon, and you know what the greatest thing I did on that whole expedition was, brother? You know what I did? I set up, when I got to the Amazon, the thing I was scouting was what story we're going to tell. Is it going to be about the nature and the forest burning? And it wasn't. What I found was it was about the children. What I noticed on the river's edge, I was on the Amazon with Jacques Cousteau's original guide in the Amazon River, and Miguel. And he was pointing out on the side of the rivers all these women and children. Why? Why only these old women and these young children? Because all of the adults were up in the mountains. They were being held to for the illegal foresting and for the gold mining. And so all of the vulnerable came to the water's edge. It was just a really powerful experience. Yeah. And so what I ended up doing was working with Miguel to form orphanages and put these children in safe places. And that prepared me. That experience in the jungles prepared me for later on. I was a contractor with classified work in Baghdad, Iraq. And I helped. What did I do there? The greatest thing is I helped protect others. But I took my experience and I created orphanages in Baghdad to protect the children on the streets. After all of that, I came to Sam. I said, I have an amazing story. I call it the Odyssey, that I've traveled. And I want to tell that story. And I want to write a book about it. But I don't want to be a goofball like some of these other guys have done and write a book and about myself and be a turkey. So I called Sam and I said, Sam, how do I write a book and not be an idiot? You know? And he, you know what he told me? He says, Marco, he goes, easy, brother. He goes, just write about the greatest things you accomplished and lead to that moment. And I go, how do I know what the greatest thing? What do I do? What do I pick? And he goes, Marco, that's easy. He goes, ask your mom.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I,
oh, man.
So I ended up, so I called my mom and I said, Mom, you know, Sam, I just talked to Sam and Sam said, I have to call you and I have to ask you, what's the greatest thing I've ever accomplished in my life?
Oh, wow. And Marco, that's for those of you listening that follow me and you understand the work we do in sex trafficking. Now, by default, you understand then with what Mark just shared with you, what he's seen, right? When you go to the jungle, when you go to Africa, and it's the same in Africa, the kids, the wives and the kids are at the river because the river has life. It's where they get water. It's where they wash their clothes. It's, you know, it's travel mechanism. He's seen trafficking, incredible amount of trafficking and carnage. And the reason I believe it's so impactful what you're saying, Mark, is because for the same reason Jesus said, bring the children. They're innocent. They're pure. And all of us, I believe, I have to believe, Sam, in humanity, we want to be good. You said earlier, there are more of us that are good than bad. That's the truth. And how do we mobilize the good and not let them just sit? And that's what you're doing. This is a call to action saying, this is your hero moment. This is the hero's journey. My wife just wrote a book, Philip is a writer, about the hero's journey. How do you become a hero? This is what it's about. You know, it's about you can be a hero in your house, in your community, in the marketplace, in Wall Street. You know, it's not just on the battlefield with bullets and a flak jacket, you know, in night vision. You know, but we all have that desire. My daughters, their room right now, it's superheroes. It's what it is. Yeah. It's Wonder Woman. And it's, you know, these warrior princesses that want to serve. It's innate in us, and to hear it coming from both of you is incredible. So Sam, what's the horizon other than, you know, just real quick, where can we find, and this is not, I got to have you guys back, please, because I want to dive into the story of Marco leading some expedition 2 months ago, having guys dive, climb a mountain, near death experience. So if you guys would honor me in this and come back in about a week and then dive into some operational experiences and things, but I really wanted to honor you with your company. Sure. So tell us, Sam, where do people find you?
Well, hey, Jaco, real quick, I just got to finish this because it leads into Sam and that piece.
Okay.
You know, my mom told me one thing. And so my mom's answer was, Mark, it was the time you saved that little boy in Baghdad. Right. And I go, why that? Why, you know, and I'm like, why that mission? Why that, Mom? And she goes, Mark, because that's the time I was most proud of you. And that's the mission. So with that, I'd leave it on to Sam.
No, and sorry for the interruption,
brother. We
were
definitely going to cover down on that story at the next edition that we jump on of The Bottom Line. So that's perfect.
Yeah.
So for anybody who's interested, they can probably just, the easiest way to stay connected to us, just go to www.sofx.com, sign up for the newsletter. It's completely free. We do not rent, sell, or share the newsletter list to anybody. We make our money basically doing corporate recruiting and advisory support and stuff like that. So again, you're not being productized. The newsletter is the largest newsletter for insiders within special operations and the private military contractor community, but it's basically for high impact people. So people will love it. So that's how you stay connected to me. Over to Mark.
Yeah, I'm tracking that. That's perfect, Sam.
Mark, for you, how would you like people, social media handles, how would you like people to get in touch with you or learn more about Cloth Defense?
Yeah, I would say what we're doing is as you can hear in your craft, hear how we're crafting our messaging online right now. My communication hub is through Sam and Sofx, so you'll be able to track Sam and I through that sofx.com. And the
Beautiful.
Progress with what we're doing with Cloth Defense.
Tell me, Mark, and on Cloth, is there going to be a commercial application to some of that textile?
There is, and we're going to have a web store, we have a website, it's called clothdefense.com, and we're going to have a web store that's going to be available to basically check out our gear and be able to get your hands on some really cool stuff that we got, that we're producing. I've got that blanket that I mentioned I refined into basically it's a poncho liner replacement for the Marines, and we're going to have it available to the civilian sector as well. You'll be able to go online and pick it up.
Fantastic.
The magic about what we're doing is it doesn't have as much to do with the products as it has to do with the fact that we've basically designed and are manufacturing what we call sort of the world's next generation textile with regards to multi applications. So it basically mitigates any kind of thermal signature. It can keep you cooler in hot environments and then warmer in cooler environments without having to have a lot of bulk and insulation. So it's literally sort of next generation textile that we believe will basically supplant some of the higher end technical fabrics like Gore-Tex, so on and so forth, because ours has properties that heretofore have not been seen on the market.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, please come back. I'm going to have you back soon, and we're going to dive into some operations and take hands with you. For those listening, let's honor our servicemen and women. When you see somebody, when you say thank you and look them in the eye and say it from your heart. And when they say you're welcome, say no, we appreciate you. God bless all of you listening. Mark, Sam, thank you. God bless you, your families. Keep listening, Mark. You're going to get downloads. We're going to further the mission. We're going to pull through this thing together as a nation. No question about it. We do see the other side of this fight. No doubt. No doubt. But as Sam said, be a hero today, not for the sake of being recognized as a hero, but for serving others because they need it. They need us. They need us to stand up I pray for you constantly. This is The Bottom Line with Yaku Boyens. And again today, we had incredible people, human beings on the line. I honor both of you, Sam and Marco. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bottom Line. Please join your host, Yaku Boyens, for another edition of the program, Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time and 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Listen for more enlightenment on our next show.